Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato at the Oklahoman Podcast Studios. After the Thunder's 139-127 overtime win over the Timberwolves. Ugh. We've seen a lot of thrilling games, but end of regulation tonight, by far, was the wildest thing we've seen this year.
Yeah, I mean, that was by far the craziest game I've covered since I've been on the beat, and I don't know how it would possibly be topped. Where do you want to begin?
Start at the very beginning. We should start at the beginning of the end. Let's start with Shay.
There's so much wild stuff
right here. Let's start with what is going on with my...
I'm going to jump in at the very end. So, okay. Well, not the very end. But anyway, the Thunder basically has a 10-point lead with 5 minutes left. Karl Anthony Towns goes crazy, and that gets us to the end of the game when the Timberwolves go up 121-119 with 33 seconds left. And at that point, a crazy sequence starts. Dennis Schroeder misses a layup. Lou Dort, defensive player of the year nominee, jumps in from off the bench, gets a steal. Chris Paul misses what would be the tying jumper. And then, okay, I'm going to fast forward a little bit.
Did they credit him with the steal on that?
They did. They gave him a steal.
Perfect. It was this crazy play. He was defending it really well, but
the ball just went off Shabazz Napier's hand.
Lou was pressuring him, so like credit him for that, but he immediately recognizes the loose ball, jumps on top of it, the funny thing the funny thing about it too is Joe asked Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the other day about Lou Dort, and one of the things he said is like he does all the things that nobody wants to do, and he started naming off things, and one of them was dive on loose balls, and sure enough, that was one of the biggest plays of the game, and it's in his debut.
Yeah, I mean that was crazy. He was basically just subbed in to play defense. They kept doing this game where they would sub him in on defensive possessions late in the game.
Fun game.
but anyway, this gets us to the point where the Timberwolves are up 121 to make sure I'm getting this right. 121-119.
Yep.
And then Karl Anthony Towns has two free throws. I'm so confused. So Karl Anthony Towns has two free throws. He makes... Man, I'm going to get this sequence mixed up because the play-by-play is messing me up.
Oh my gosh, this play-by-play is the...
The play-by-play we're looking at, I don't think is right online. Oh, man.
So he was supposed to make... Wait.
I just need the score before the technical. Okay, so Karl Anthony Towns is to the line. He can put the game away. Eventually, he could put the Timberwolves up by three. Danilo Gallinari, Jordan Bell is checking into the game. I'll let you take it away. Take away the Jordan Bell technical.
So keep in mind.
It's been a long night, folks. I'm sorry.
It really has. And if you could see what we're seeing, we're trying to double check ourselves, and the play-by-play is very confusing online. It's much better in print. When did Jordan Bell take free throws?
Jordan Bell did not take a free throw. Jordan Bell subbed in with 1 second
left. It says that he did.
It's incorrect.
I'm so confused. Okay. He subs in, and Chris Paul points out that his jersey's untucked, which is a violation. Like, technically, that is
a delay of game violation.
And after the game, Chris Paul basically said, like, he very rarely will point it out, and an official will actually be like, oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah. And it wouldn't have meant anything except for the fact that Carl Anthony Towns earlier in the game was slow taking off all these
wraps around his knees. Oh my gosh. He had
wraps around
he
his
had
knees.
Like seven ace bandages just yeah. And so he got a delay of
the
game.
First one's only a warning.
Then and so they get called for a technical foul for the second delay right. of game violation. Danilo Gallinari makes that free throw. So now
it's 121-120. The Timberwolves lead by one after Gallinari makes the technical free throw. And then
Karl Anthony Towns is supposed to miss it.
Yeah, he should have.
There's 1.1 seconds on the clock. He misses it. There's no chance to get a play.
You get the say he misses the free throw. The Timberwolves are up by one. The Thunder rebounds, but then you have to throw a full length. You have to attempt a full length shot to make it. I mean, it would just be impossible. But he makes it. They go up 122-120. That allows the Thunder to regroup. Steven Adams is the inbounder. Dennis Schroeder is on the opposite side of the floor, and Steven Adams throws like a pass for the ages, like full football Hail Mary. Dennis Schroeder, he's basically like backing down Jeff Teague, like he's a receiver in the end zone. They complete the pass, and basically in one motion, Schroeder catches, puts it off the glass, two-point shot, tied 122-122 going into overtime.
It was insane. And he talked about after the game about, I mean, Joe mentioned that he had missed a shot earlier to tie the game, and he said that his teammates were like, you'll get it back, you'll get it back, and he sure did in remarkable fashion. He just kissed it off the glass just in time. I still can't believe that they got that all done in a second.
Yeah, 1.1 on the clock when Steven inbounded. And that goes to show you, like, it was so improbable because, one, Carl Towns, if he misses the free throw, like we said, the Thunder lose. Making the free throw kept them in it. But even before that, a two-point shot there at the end wouldn't have done them any good had there not been the technical that allowed Gallinari right. to cut the deficit by 1 point. That 1 point was so crucial. Like, the Thunder, you know, Steven would have had to throw in a pass that would have led to a game-tying three-pointer instead of a two-pointer. So, like, everything just added up in those final seconds to make this happen.
To recap, Lu Dort, steal.
I thought at the time it was, like, the play of the game, and then it's, like, the eighth play of the game.
Then technical foul and Chris Paul's heads-up play, noticing that, pointing it out loudly enough for Scott Foster to have to call it. Well, not have to, but have the chance to call it. He, by the way, post-game, they did not acknowledge Chris Paul for his the officials did not acknowledge Chris Paul for his contribution there. But
hey, they needed a third official, and it was Chris Paul.
That's true. Yeah, so they also official had to step out. We don't have the official word on why, but maybe an injury. We'll get the official word at some point and let y'all know. But yeah, they had two officials for most of the second half.
Yeah.
Two
officials and Chris Paul.
Two officials and Chris Paul. And then the Hail first
then
the technical
made free throw, yeah.
Technical foul free throw and then the Hail Mary.
Yeah, I mean, what a savvy move by 34-year-old Chris Paul. Like, I don't think a young player.
His eyes are good.
I don't think a young player tells the refs that, you know, like, hey, his shirt's untucked. Like, probably happens all the time. Like, Chris Paul, not only did he see the untucked shirt, he knew that it would have been the second technical or the second delay of game violation, which leads to a foul shot, which the first one doesn't. I mean, it's just, it's insane.
Yeah.
This game
is bonkers. So when they asked him post game, like, did you know that they already had the delay of game? And before they could get the question out, he was already like, yep. he's on top of it. I mean, we've seen stuff like that from him a ton. I mean, we've talked about the rip move a ton and seen those types of veteran savvy moves, but this was on another level.
Yeah, I mean, it won them a game. I mean, it was, it went from like a pretty glaring Thunder collapse to an improbable comeback, and then in the final 5 minutes, the Thunder just dominated overtime.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had started off well. He made his first three baskets. He had a good shooting night, and then he just went off in overtime, and he finished with a career high, and had a real, like, sunk a three that essentially put it out of reach. Yeah. Impressive stuff for a guy who has been slumping lately.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't. You know, you looked it up. He had a string of what, sub 40% shooting nights coming into this one. Yeah, the last three. And he was over 50% tonight. Yeah, I'm looking at the right one. 8 of 13, took 12 foul shots, made them all. I mean, that was crazy. I mean, we can. I mean, if you want numbers, here's one. The Thunder had 5 players score 20 or more points, and that's the first time in Thunder history, first time that's happened in the NBA since the Atlanta Hawks in 2004.
Yeah, pretty impressive. And
I didn't realize Shai had a career high until you just said that.
Impressively spread out. Yeah, his previous career high was 28, according to the Thunder game notes.
I think that was like the second game of the season, too. Because he had career high in one game, career high in the next game. So 29, season high 30 points for Chris Paul tonight, 11 of 20. By the way, free throw numbers, 36 of 40 for the Thunder, 14 of 20 for the Timberwolves. I'm just throwing out all kinds of numbers.
Because in the third quarter, they scored 20 points off free throws.
20 of 21 from the free throw line.
Wild.
That's insane. I mean, the T-Wolves went into the bonus. The Thunder were in their bonus early. T-Wolves were fouling a ton. But you just, like, we kept counting, and it's like the Timberwolves, I think 13 fouls they committed. What was the final tally
on
that?
Yeah, I think that was it.
13 fouls leading to 21 free throw attempts for the Thunder. And, you know.
And the Thunder made
it. That kept them in it.
Even
yeah.
Steven Adams, who looked like he was going to stop making his free throws, like, yeah, he's been shooting well from the free throw line lately, and then missed his first couple and was like, oh, maybe yep. We're back. And then when they needed him to in that third,
yeah, it's not been a great free throw shooting team, but tonight they shot 90% from the line, and I would guess that 40
it's been a better free throw shooting team than last year.
Yeah, man, I'm looking at this box score, and it's just tons of wild numbers. So,
yeah, a lot of. I mean, didn't Teague have a career?
Yeah, Teague had a season high.
Sorry, 30, not career.
32.
Oh,
he was 12 of 17, 4 of 5 from 3. Carl Towns had 30. But like the wildest part to me is the Thunder those five guys. Like I said, that 20 plus stat. They scored 127 of the Thunder's 139. Like, the guys who didn't score more than 20 had 6-4-2. 6-4-2-0-0.
Yeah, that is crazy. Speaking of those other guys, we should mention Thunder was very shorthanded on the wing tonight. Because, I mean, as you know, you've had Hamidou Diallo out with that hyperextended elbow. They've had, obviously, Andre Robertson out for almost 2 years now. And then to add to that, Terrence Ferguson was out with a sore right hip, and then Deontay Burton was suspended for a game. And Royce Young of ESPN first reported that was because of a locker room altercation. So you had Abdul Nader starting. That's why they had Lu Dort in there, and in there in some really pivotal defensive situations. And then Devin Hall also got some minutes.
Yeah, Hall only played 3.5 minutes, but they came in the first quarter, so that was really surprising. But I think you can make an argument, maybe a fairly easy argument, that their four best defensive wings, the four you just mentioned who are out tonight, are their four best defensive wings, is what I'm saying. Like, you know, obviously Andre Robertson, Hamidou Diallo, Deontay Burton, and Terrence Ferguson. I mean, all those guys are defensive first guys. And at first I was wondering, okay, how in the heck are they going to defend Andrew Wiggins tonight? And then we find out before the game that Wiggins is going to be out. And it's like,
ta-da!
It's like, okay, like now, you know, they should be able to hang in there. But those guys, you know, the reserves did not put up big numbers tonight, but they did enough to keep the Thunder in it and to give those starters a bit of a break. But it was really like the star players tonight for the Thunder who like carried so much of the load. Yeah.
Although you do look at those, they all had, I mean, some more than others, but you had a lot of the reserves in positive plus minus. It wasn't like they're dragging the team down there. Like Darius Bazley, plus 12.
Yeah, in 16 minutes. Yeah. New Orleans also had 16 minutes plus 7. I mean, Lou Dort was minus 5, but he was making his NBA debut tonight, and he came up in that spot. Like, that's crazy.
Wild.
Seven minutes for Lou Dort, which we don't know how serious this Terrence Ferguson thing is, but...
A very important 7 minutes.
Yeah, so important. I mean, they had him in the fourth quarter, in the closing minutes, to play defense.
As a rookie.
Yeah.
In his NBA debut. Because he had those, if you guys are like, wait, I swear I saw him play. He played with them in preseason. So he had four preseason games under his belt, and he's just been tearing it up in the G League. So he was ready.
Yeah, and he's known as he was all Pac-12 defensive team. Billy Donovan, before the game, said he has a chance to be elite defensively. So, you know, we've seen the G League highlights of Lou Dort, but... defense is really where he's going to shine, and where he can, if he has a chance to carve out minutes as a rookie, it's going to be on that end.
Also an undrafted free agent. So if he can make his way into the rotation, that is a huge pickup.
Yeah, what a find. Yeah. Man.
Let's see. Other highlights. Steven Adams again started hot. And obviously... we've talked about the end of the game, but that's been a theme over the past four games now, where he's had he's had strong starts, and even against Karl Anthony Towns, who is a formidable foe. You know, obviously, you're not gonna. I mean, he was still very efficient. It's not like they were able to really stop him, but. Stopped him enough.
He's a monster. Like, the craziest part about Towns is he's attempting so many threes this year, and he attempted 9 of them tonight, went 5 of 9, and on the season he's shooting 43% from three. He's at 43% three.
The first shot of the game was a Karl Anthony Towns three.
You know who else is shooting 43% from three? Danilo Gallinari, who's like
that's his
an
thing.
Out of this world 3-point shooter. And Karl Towns, who's like, oh, picked it up like a year ago, is now doing that.
It helps that he has centers trying to figure out how to guard the 3-point line, but
he just is like, you know, given all of that, I thought Steven did a fairly good job on him.
Speaking of threes, we haven't mentioned that Steven Adams took one.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I should.
That was such a bigger deal in the moment.
It was, yeah. I completely forgot to ask Chris about this, because just before it, Steven Adams was taking and missing free throws, and in between the two, Chris went over and was talking to him and, like, whispering to him, and I have no idea what he said or if it had to do with the next play, but the next Thunder possession... Steven Adams goes out to the right corner and takes a 3-point shot. And it was good. Like, he missed, but it was a good-looking shot.
Yeah, I would love to know what that conversation was, but I would bet good money that it was Chris Paul drawing that up for Steven Adams. And, like, you know...
because Steven Adams doesn't just do that on his own.
No, and, like, one of the first stories I wrote, maybe it was my first since I came over to the beat, was like, Steven Adams, like, is going to take more threes this year and, like, all this stuff. And it's like, oh, man, I'm an idiot. He's, like, not taking any threes at all. And he had that one in the preseason. But there was nothing in the flow of the offense where Steven even looked like he could even attempt a three. Like, he doesn't – he's not even in that spot, but he went to that right corner, attempted that three. He's now 0 of 8 in his career from three. But that might be, like, the first one that wasn't, like, up against a shot clock or a desperation heave before the buzzer. Like, that was a legit three.
It was. Drawn up and everything. Yeah, we talked to him and Billy Donovan this week about his three-point shooting and the fact that he hasn't taken any in the regular season or hadn't, you know, before tonight. And Billy was saying it's a thing where because Steven has been trying to get over that knee contusion, they didn't want, you know, they wanted him to focus on getting back, not adding this extra thing to his game. And he's looking a lot healthier now. And Steven said to reintegrate that. I don't even know if reintegrate is quite the right word since in the preseason he took one. but integrating that into his game would take a bit of a change in the Thunder's offense because he'd have to take a few steps out instead of to get into that corner. And then it would also affect his rebounding. And we've already talked about how the Thunder is really struggling in the offensive rebounding category. So whether or not they want to forfeit that more, I don't know. But, you know, when you're in the corner, you're getting back. You're not fighting for you're not fighting for offensive rebounds. So maybe he'll do it again someday.
Yeah, I think for them, they're just happy to see he's stringing together some 20-point performances. He had 22 tonight on 9 of 13, had 11 rebounds, a couple assists. I mean, he just looks so much better offensively, and we're saying this every single night now, but he looks healthy again, and he was exactly what they needed tonight. By the way, if you are questioning his health, he played 36 minutes tonight. Now, a lot of that's influenced by overtime, but if that was still an issue, they would not have played him 36 minutes.
No, and huge jump from what he was doing, like 28 the last couple of days and around 25 before that.
That was his only second 30-minute game this season.
There you go. Are we missing anyone? Chris Paul played out of his mind.
He was phenomenal. He gets into that just like that comfortable spot in the lane, like halfway between the basket and the free throw line, and just like always gets there and has that fadeaway jumper that's so smooth.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Thunder has been talking all season about how in defense they really want to force their opponents to take those mid-range jumpers, and where he and Schroeder and Shea were getting some nice buckets was with those little mid-range floaters, and it was working for all three of them.
It was classic Chris Paul tonight. Again, 30 points. That was his season high, first 30-point game of the year for him.
First 30-point game as a Thunder.
Yeah, first 30-point game as a Thunder.
anything else on this game?
My. I will say, obviously, way too early to do standings watch, but the Timberwolves, they're at 10-11. They're still the, you know, in the top eight, holding onto that eight seed in the Western Conference. The Thunder's only a game behind them. So we've said this before, but as long as the Thunder maintains their current roster, they're probably going to float around in that 8-10 range. Obviously, we expect trades, Danilo Gallinari being the first.
December 15th's coming.
Yeah, December 15th. Circle it. We'll have a trade primer for you then if you don't want to circle it. but it's interesting, like, how competitive they are and how almost every night they remind us how competitive they are under the current roster. Now, that is to say, competing enough to be, like, ninth in the West, but still, it's saying something, I think.
So, great transition into, we're about a quarter of the way through. We're a little over?
More than a quarter, I think.
Or more than a quarter.
I'm terrible at math, but 21 and 42, that would add up to 84. So yeah, more than a quarter.
So at this quarter of the season mark, what's been the biggest surprise for you?
Oh, man.
I know, I should have given you, I just thought of this, so I should have given you time to think ahead of time. I can start if you want.
Yeah, do you have one right now?
I can come up with one. Probably, if we're talking about before preseason started, my biggest surprise is probably how much of an impact Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is having. And we've all been saying from the beginning, he's the point guard of the future, but I mean, I was a little concerned about them having as many point guards as they have and about him getting the amount of time that he needs to on the court. Sure enough, he played 41 minutes tonight. Getting time on the court, it's not an issue. He has been playing off ball a lot, but they do take turns. Like, even when he's on the court with one or two of those other point guards, he will bring up the ball every once in a while, and he has shown a wide range of skills. Obviously, he's, like I mentioned before, he had a bit of a shooting slump, but that's to be 100% expected. And it wasn't like, oh, he started going 0-for. It was just like, oh, he started off the season incredibly efficient, and now he's a little less efficient.
Yeah, I think Shai is probably the right answer, just how good he's been and how, you know, the Thunder has to be reassured that in that Paul George trade, they wanted a future cornerstone. And I think, you know, it's still early, but he looks every bit of a guy who can fill that role. I'll go with another point guard. I think I've been a little surprised at how seamlessly Chris Paul has fit in with this team and, like, has come to Oklahoma City, a place where before the season even started, they thought they were going to flip him. Even before the season, I mean, there was a chance that they could do that. And it was like, is Chris Paul going to be happy? Is, like, you know, Chris, everyone knows Chris Paul is so competitive. Like, how is he going to take being on a team with a bunch of young guys who aren't supposed to be very good? And, you know, we're not seeing behind the scenes, but we see the way he interacts with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and some of the younger players. And, you know, there's not been one rumbling of him being upset or, like, anything to that. So, and we know the reputation that kind of he had with James Harden in Houston. So I've been surprised at how relaxed and comfortable that locker room feels with him in it.
My other one is how close almost all of these games have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've had two blowouts. Quarter of the season through, a team that's not supposed to compete for a playoff spot, and they've played everyone close.
Yeah, I mean, I've been surprised at that too, just the competitiveness. I mean, this, they're 9-12, they could be, you know, 10-11, they could be 12-9. Like, so many of these games have been really close, and I too have been surprised of, especially given how tough this early season schedule has been, they've definitely taken advantage of the matchups they should have won. They've won a few that we didn't expect them to win. And it's to this point where you're like, you know, if they keep it together, they could make a run at the 8 seed. Now, again, we don't expect that, but I think playing all of these close games has been a surprise.
All right, one more question, then we can wrap it up.
One more.
What themes or storylines are you looking forward to following over the next quarter?
The next quarter. I think everything hinges on that December 15th day. Yeah. And, you know,
as we just explained on the last podcast, December 15th is when free agents from the summer become draft eligible.
Yeah.
I mean, the draft eligible, just trade eligible.
Yeah, just why it opens up the player pool for everyone. And I think that's when we're going to start seeing deals happen. So I think the second quarter of this season is sort of going to be defined by that by trade talks and, you know, Gallinari, who I think will be the first guy moved, and what they get, what value he has, whether it's, you know, a pick who that comes back to them or a young piece, we'll see. But I think, you know, how the roster shakeup is what I'll be looking forward to covering.
Yeah, that's a big one, and how the guys left pick up the pieces as mm-hmm. as things get moved around and all that comes with that.
And if Chris doesn't get moved, like, you know,
will he get antsy eventually?
Yeah, exactly. Like, is he, like, they're good enough now where they're being competitive, but if Gallo gets traded and another piece gets traded and, like, Chris Paul's contract is still too tough to trade, like, how does he respond to that?
On a more individual note, I'm looking forward to seeing Hamidou Diallo's development, because he took a huge jump over the summer defensively, and I want to see how that shakes out and that how he fares over the course of a whole season when, you know, now his defense is stout enough to keep him, to keep that rotation spot, and see how he deals with the bumps in the road along the way and how he develops and, you know, continues to get better and better. He's another guy who they picked in the 40s. He was a late draft pick, and they're getting a lot of value out of him so far.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, if he stays on that initial timeline, he'll still play a large chunk of the season. So his development will be key, and yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting guys on this team to cover, so it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to quarter two, man.
It's going to be better than quarter three,
probably. I hope there's
probably
some more, like, blowouts both ways mixed in, just to give us a little bit of a break.
Oh, my gosh, it's so exhausting. I'm sure it is for them, too. Like, they're actually physically doing it, but it's very stressful.
Yeah, I mean... It's stressful. Like, we're trying to type away on deadlines, working with a 10 o'clock deadline for, you know, a game that ends at like 9:45 tonight. And anyway, don't care about that.
But. I mean, so we have a bunch of 8 o'clock games coming up on the road.
Have fun, Maddie.
It's going to be great. Can't wait. All right. We'll end on that note. Thank you all for tuning in. Subscribe, like it, love it, share it with your friends, your enemies, your pets, your grandparents, your siblings.
Siblings is a good one.
Your acquaintances.
Yes, with someone you just met in the last week.
A stranger on the street. In the coffee shop. Maybe it'll spark a new romance, your guys' mutual love for the Thunder
Just
Buddies
play
podcast.
Play it over the coffee shop speakers. No one needs music.
No, that's much better. Do that. And
be like a sports themed coffee shop, which would be a weird concept.
I like it. Start it. And we will see you after the Thunder in Portland on Sunday.